The three eyes. Yeah, that's actually very interesting. Yeah, that's a good one. So the question was, can we talk about what the three eyes are? Okay. This is quite interesting, actually, because I found it quite puzzling when I first heard Rinpoche talking about this. And so, yeah, I was thinking, well, that doesn't sound right. But when you think about it, surprise, surprise, it turns out to be right. Because quite often you will hear the Geshe's and the Lamas, when they're talking about emptiness, they'll talk about the two eyes. The eye, which is the object to be negated, which is the inherently existing eye, and the eye which exists, which is the mere eye, the conventionally existing eye. Or you can also say the self which exists and the self which doesn't exist. The self which exists is the conventionally existing self. The self which doesn't exist is the inherently existing one. So now, Rinpoche talks about these three eyes, and I think Rinpoche said, if I can remember the terms correctly, there's the conventionally existing eye, the inherently existing eye, and the eye which is not distinguished particularly as either one or the other. So that's what puzzled me, because I get immediately, you know, when you're talking in terms of the two eyes, you get a clear idea. But then if you talk about three eyes, for me that was a bit puzzling. But the way I was able to solve it in my own mind, this puzzle, was by thinking how you can actually talk about this in a different way. You can talk about it in terms of three different ways in which the mind engages in the eye. So do you remember when they talk about emptiness and the realization of emptiness and the ignorance, which is the true grasping mind, which is the root of cyclic existence, right? They say that both of these minds refer to the same object, but the way that they apprehend them or grasp them is in opposite way. So the wisdom realizing emptiness refers to the eye, to the conventionally existing eye. Okay, both of them refer to the conventionally existing eye. The wisdom realizing emptiness refers to the conventionally existing eye and grasps it as inherently existent, or apprehends it as inherently existent, believes it is inherently existent. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. Okay, so that's, sorry, what did I think I'm getting, I'm getting these things mixed up, yeah. So the wisdom refers to the eye and grasps that or apprehends it as empty of inherent existence. The ignorance refers to the same eye and grasps it in a completely opposite way, which means it grasps it as inherently existent. Okay, so they're referring, and this always seems to be very important, these two minds. The one which is the ignorance, which is the root of psychic existence, and the wisdom, realizing emptiness, they refer to the same object but grasp it in a completely opposite way. They use the term zindangawa, so the way of apprehending is contradictory. Okay, and that's why the wisdom realizing emptiness is the real solution to the ignorance, because it sort of like meets it head on. It doesn't just sort of like skirt around the edge and sort of like damage it in some way, like love and compassion and purification and so on. They all kind of like weaken it and so forth. But what really gets to that ignorance is the mind which refers to the same object but can grasp it in a complete opposite way. Okay. So you've got those two minds referring to the same object and grasping it in the opposite way. But now, if you think about it, you've got another mind which refers to the eye and doesn't particularly grasp it as inherently existent and doesn't particularly grasp it as empty of inherent existence. So usually the kind of example they would give is when we just think, I'm coming, I'm going, I'm eating, I'm sleeping. So although you might think to yourself, well, when I think I'm coming, I'm going, I'm eating and sleeping, I have this feeling of an inherent existing I going on there. But generally speaking, the mind thinking I'm coming is a valid mind. And it's a mind which is not particularly thinking that I which is coming is inherently existent, is not particularly thinking that I which is coming and going is empty of inherent existence. So it's grasping that I, but not grasping it as particularly inherently existent or inherently empty of inherent existence, right? So now, if you have a background in the Lorig or the epistemological sort of explanations that you find in Buddhism, the mind and awareness, then they talk about the apprehended object. Okay. So, and this is where it becomes very useful for understanding what these three eyes are. So when Rinpoche says there are three eyes, he's talking about the three apprehended objects of those three minds. Okay, so there can be a difference between appearing object and apprehended object. So which really comes down to the fact that while a certain thing might be appearing, what your mind is doing with what's appearing can be completely different. Okay, like for example, you have the appearance the trees moving when you're moving driving in a car, but your mind is thinking there's no trees moving. So what's appearing is one thing, and what's being apprehended is a totally different thing. So in other words, just like you can talk about three minds which are referring to the same object, the conventionally existing I, the mere I, and grasping it in three different ways, so you've got, or apprehending it in three different ways, so you have three apprehended objects, the three apprehended objects of those three minds. So for the ignorance, the true grasping mind, the apprehended object would be an inherent existing I. For the mind, the wisdom realizing emptiness, the apprehended object would be an empty I. What's the term we used? An I empty of inherent existence. And so the apprehended object of the third mind, which is the mind referring to that I and not grasping it as particularly inherently existent or particularly empty of inherent existence, would be an I which is not distinguished particularly as inherently existent and or truly existent. So I think what's puzzling when you first hear this idea, you know, when Rinpoche says an I not distinguished as particularly inherent existent or truly existent, you're maybe thinking to yourself, what, like an I which is not particularly inherent existent or empty of inherent existence? How could that be? Okay, there's nothing which is inherent existent, but at least you know that you have this idea of an inherent existing I. You've got the idea of a non-inherent existing I, the mere I. So now this one, which is not particularly one or the other, what does that mean? So actually, that isn't what Rinpoche is talking about. He's talking about the apprehended object of that mind, which grasps the I without particularly thinking inherent existent or empty of inherent existence. So the apprehended object of that mind is the I not particularly distinguished, and maybe you could put in parentheses, by that mind, as inherent existent or empty of inherent existence. Is that clear now? Just to say. Okay, so the question here is the reason that Venerable Rene brought up this question of what are the three eyes is because I was using the term conventionally existing eye. So conventionally existing I and mere I are synonyms. Okay, that doesn't mean to say that if you've realized one, you've realized all three of them. But they are synonyms. The very thing which is a mere I is none other than the I which exists. So in other words, you could say the mere I, the conventionally existing I, the I which does exist. they'll
existence and non-existence as the conventional eye, and the mere eye as the one that exists conventionally. So it's just a question of language.
Okay. So did everybody get the question? Venerable Rene is making the point that certain teachers say the what was it again?
The one that is neither qualified by inherent existence.
Is the conventionally existing.
No, is the conventional eye.
Conventional
and the
eye.
Mere eye is the conventionally existing eye.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Worldly eye.
Yeah, I heard conventional eye. Yeah, but not the one that exists conventionally, because that's the mere eye.
Not Lama Tsongkhapa's conventional eye, yeah. But there's a worldly eye and then the Lama Tsongkhapa's conventional
I've
eye.
I've never heard of that term, a worldly eye. I can't think what that would mean.
Well, I've never heard of the third eye before in that way.
Can you? Yeah.
The third eye that's neither inherently existent nor...
The third eye is the eye which is not distinguished as inherently existing or conventionally existing. It's not an eye which is neither conventionally existing nor inherently existent.
So that's in the middle. It's in the middling long room. Jay Rinpoche mentions it, and then. But this is good because it seems like my question was then, if you're having that, can you say it again? It's not distinguishing.
Mind which doesn't distinguish the eye as inherent existent or empty of inherent existent.
So if that mind is happening, I was still assuming that there's an innate apprehension of an eye.
Well, when you have this manifest thought in your mind, which is So you often hear of innate eye grasping and the valid eye grasping. Okay, so why did I say that? What did you say again?
I was saying so the mind not distinguishing inherent existence or true existence. Because Jay Rinpoche doesn't explain it, he just states it.
Can you just repeat what you said? Because
So what I said was, well, that mind is going on of not distinguishing.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there still innate apprehension of an eye?
Yes. So okay. In other words, when you have the valid eye grasping mind, which is simply the mind grasping at an eye without particularly distinguishing it as truly existent or empty of truly existent, just the mind which is thinking I, this and that. While that's going on, at the same time, of course, you can, for us, people who have not realized emptiness, we would still have the innate eye grasp mind, but it just wouldn't be manifest at that time.
Yeah.
Yes?
Exactly what you said, just to confirm everything you said, his words.
Go on then. As long as it's not going to threaten me, I am.
No, it's what you said is exactly what Rinpoche said, so I thought you might like to hear. He says, in the text it mentions three eyes, the merely labelled eye, the real eye that's not merely labelled by the mind, but existing for its own side, and a general eye, the eye that is not specifically merely labelled or truly existent, it's just I. These three are basically different ways an individual can view the eye. By looking at the eye as merely labelled, we can specify that there is a merely labelled eye, which actually accords with reality. Then we put the label, merely labelled eye, and we look for it. Then we can specify that there is a real eye, or truly existent eye, the eye we believe is inside this body, and we feel to be something very truly existent from its own side. Then put the label, truly existent eye, and look for it. Then when you're not thinking of the eye as being either truly existent or merely labelled, but just eye, that is the general eye. For example, you can look for the truly existent book the merely labeled book or just the general book without either of those being specified. Totally great. Right, Steve.
Must be right, mustn't it? General I. For what? For which one? Okay, yeah, so sort of like engaging in the I in a general way without particularly thinking empty, inherent existent, I guess, general in that sense. A general I, yeah. So you've got the merely labelled I, the inherently existent I, or the, which is not merely labelled, and the general I. Okay.